Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Thursday, March 30th. Most of you probably heard the headline story yesterday about AI, artificial intelligence, and I'm guessing that many of you were misled by the way some of the headlines framed it. For example, this from the New York Times, Elon Musk and others call for pause on AI, citing profound risks to society. That's one example. There was also this headline in The Guardian. Elon Musk joins call for pause in creation of giant AI digital mines. Or this from NBC News. Elon Musk and several other technologists call for a pause on training of AI systems. And I could go on with similar headlines from Reuters and the Financial Times and other places. But here's why I think all those headlines may have misled you and tricked your human brain, your natural rather than artificial intelligence, into having the wrong first reaction to the story. All those headlines make it sound like the story is about Elon Musk. And given what you probably think of Elon Musk these days, maybe you rolled your eyes. The first few people I mentioned the story to, when it was just breaking yesterday, were like, oh yeah, there go the big tech companies trying to get everyone else to stop developing new stuff so they can dominate the market. But I think that's probably the wrong way to look at it. In broader context, more than 1,100 people signed an open letter from a think tank called the Future of Life Institute, which studies existential risks to humanity. How's that for a job? The letter calls for the six-month pause. Almost all of the signatories being less well-known than Elon Musk, obviously, including many who have very different politics and less general weirdness than he does. They want the pause to assess the impact of and develop policies to stay in control of machines that can outthink us, take our jobs, and potentially change civilization for the worst. Now, in a minute, I'm going to read some excerpts from the open letter, more than just two sentences or so that are making the media sound bites for the most part. But let me bring in our guest for this first. It's Sigal Samuel, senior reporter for Vox's Future Perfect and co-host of the Future Perfect podcast. Her bio page says she writes primarily about the future of consciousness, tracking advances in artificial intelligence and neuroscience and their staggering ethical implications. So I don't think she's Elon Musk. In fact, her headline on this story yesterday was more cheeky than those other ones. It said, AI leaders, then in parentheses, and Elon Musk, urge AI labs to press pause on powerful AI. Sigal, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
You know, there's a famous spoof edition of the New York Post from the 1980s. It's satire. It's a joke, just so everyone's clear on this, like the Onion before the Onion, fake New York Post. And the screaming headline on the cover of this fake New York Post is Nuclear War, Michael Jackson, 80 million others dead. And that's what I thought of when I saw how all these headlines frame this around Elon Musk. So tell us, why did you put his name in sarcastic parentheses?
I mean, for a few reasons, but I mean, basically, like, this isn't really about Elon Musk, but people, for better or worse, tend to pay attention and read whatever is going on when it includes Elon Musk, because he's just such a lightning rod. But really, this is not about him. This is the AI leaders, and that's why they're the main feature of the headline. Because the point is that pioneers, like recognized very important researchers in the field of AI, are now warning and urging all labs to press pause on developing really powerful AI. And these are the point is that these are people who really know what they're talking about. Elon Musk, maybe not so much.
Like I said in the intro, I thought I would read some excerpts from this open letter to the listeners. The lines I chose will take about 2 minutes to read. I think they're representative. But could you help this help set this up for our listeners by telling us, to the extent that you know, who this Future of Life Institute is that actually released this open letter, as well as the scope of the 1,100 signatories?
Sure. So the Future of Life Institute is a nonprofit. It works to reduce catastrophic, potentially existential risks. So like major risks facing humanity, whether that's, you know, nuclear weapons or anything like that. But, you know, I want to emphasize it's not just them. They paired with folks from the Center for Humane Technology, like Tristan Harris and Asa Raskin, who, you know, listeners might remember from the Netflix show, the Social Dilemma, that came out about social media. And broadly, the people signing this are people in tech, people in AI, whether they're, you know, veteran pioneers in the AI field who've been working on this for decades, or whether they're just, you know, software engineers, coders, people who know the field, work in the field, and are concerned.
So we hear Elon Musk, Steve Wozniak from Apple, and Andrew Yang, but it's also all those other people. So, all right, here go the excerpts. I clocked this at about 2 minutes. We'll see how close I came. And here we go. It says, advanced AI could represent a profound change in the history of life on Earth and should be planned for and managed with commensurate care and resources. Unfortunately, this level of planning and management is not happening. It says, we must ask ourselves, should we let machines flood our information channels with propaganda and untruth? Should we automate away all the jobs, including the fulfilling ones? Should we develop non-human minds that might eventually outnumber, outsmart, obsolete, and replace us? We'll forgive them for using obsolete as a verb. Outsmart, obsolete, and replace us. Should we risk loss of control of our civilization? Such decisions must not be delegated to unelected tech leaders. I'm surprised Elon Musk signed on to that, but good. Powerful AI systems should be developed only once we are confident that their effects will be positive and their risks will be manageable. This confidence must be well justified and increase with the magnitude of a system's potential effects. Therefore, we call on all AI labs to immediately pause for at least 6 months the training of AI systems more powerful than GPT-4, and we'll explain what GPT-4 means. This pause should be public and verifiable and include all key actors. If such a pause cannot be enacted quickly, government should step in and institute a moratorium. Continues, AI labs and independent experts should use this pause to jointly develop and implement a set of shared safety protocols for advanced AI design and development that are rigorously audited and overseen by independent outside experts. These protocols should ensure that systems adhering to them are safe beyond a reasonable doubt. AI research and development should be refocused on making today's powerful state-of-the-art systems more accurate, safe, interpretable, transparent, robust, aligned, trustworthy, and loyal. Remember that word, loyal. We're going to come back to that. In parallel, it says, AI developers must work with policymakers to dramatically accelerate development of robust AI governance systems. These should, at a minimum, include new and capable regulatory authorities dedicated to AI, liability for AI-caused harm, well-resourced institutions for coping with the dramatic economic and political disruptions, especially to democracy, that AI will cause. And it concludes, society has hit pause on other technologies with potentially catastrophic effects on society. We can do so here. Let's enjoy a long AI summer. Summer means pause in this respect. Not rush unprepared into a fall. All right, it took me 3 minutes. Sue me. excerpts from the open letter calling for at least a six-month pause in developing major artificial intelligence projects. They are our guest. If you joined in the middle, is Sigal Samuel from Vox, who covers consciousness and artificial intelligence. Sigal, let me get your take on some of that language. The six-month pause would be on training systems that are more powerful than GPT-4. So what's the line they're drawing there? What's GPT-4 and what does it represent in the letter?
GPT-4 represents the state of the art that we have right now. It's a large language model released by OpenAI, which, you know, basically is a system that can, it's basically predicting in a sequence of words that you give it what is the most plausible next word that would follow? And, you know, as I'm sure a lot of listeners have been finding out by playing around with ChatGPT, this can do some surprisingly impressive things, you know, whether it's writing you a song or summarizing text and much more. GPT-4 is currently the most advanced thing we know of in the field. And this is an argument saying, let's pause there for now.
One chilling line to me was when the letter said future AI research should be refocused on making new systems more accurate, safe, interpretable, transparent, robust, aligned, trustworthy, and loyal. And as I kind of indicated when I was reading the letter, it was that last word, loyal, that stopped me in my tracks for a minute. Loyalty is a human trait, not one we think about computers being able to have or not have. What do you think they mean by loyal in that context?
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing this up. Personally, I would not have used the word loyal there, but if it stopped you in your tracks, maybe that's a useful thing. Yeah, loyal sort of, as you said, it implies a human quality, and these are not, you know, human sentient beings. They're, you know, machinery. But I think what they're getting at there, they're probably sort of alluding to something called the alignment problem, which is basically that, you know, even if you design an AI system, it has no ill intentions toward you per se. It doesn't want to destroy you per se, but it can still mess things up for you pretty badly if it ends up acting in a way that is not what the developer had in mind. You know, I'll give an example that, you know, it sounds far-fetched, but this is, in a nutshell, the alignment problem. Let's say you develop a super capable AI system. You program it, you know, to solve some impossibly difficult problem, like calculating the number of atoms in the universe. Okay, sounds fine. But it might realize that it can do a better job of that if it gains access to all the computer power on Earth. So it releases a weapon of mass destruction to wipe us all out, let's say like a perfectly engineered virus or something. And now it's free to use all the computer power. So in this scenario, we would get exactly what we had asked for, which is the number of atoms in the universe, very rigorously, beautifully calculated. But that's obviously not what we wanted, right, for us to all be wiped out in the process. That's a far-fetched kind of example of the alignment problem, but experts have already seen and documented many smaller scale examples of AI systems that end up doing something other than what their designer wants.
Yeah.
For example, you know, they might get the high score in a video game, but not by playing fairly or like learning game skills, just by hacking the scoring system. So I think that's kind of what they're getting at when they say loyalty, although that's not the word I would have used because it implies some sort of human quality.
Well, you know, even your description on Vox of what you report on gave me those kinds of chills, that you write primarily about the future of consciousness, tracking artificial intelligence developments. Consciousness is something I think of as a human trait, too. So what do you mean by consciousness in the context of your job covering AI?
I'm very interested in consciousness, future consciousness, whether from, in the context of AI or neuroscience or animal cognition, right? Because humans aren't the only beings that are conscious. I think right now, like, we should be very clear that, you know, these AI systems are not conscious, they're not sentient, that's not the world we're in. But I'm interested in the hypothetical theoretical discussion that people have around, could one ever design a system, based in silicon or whatever, that eventually develops something like consciousness? So that's not where we are now, but I'm interested in that discussion.
The open letter, as I read earlier, calls for well-resourced institutions for coping with the dramatic economic and political disruptions, especially to democracy, that AI will cause. Do you know what they have in mind with respect to disruptions to democracy?
Well, my guess would be that they have in mind that basically the concern is that this new AI era is going to repeat many of the mistakes of the social media era, but on steroids. So we all have seen how, social media fragmented our political discourse. We're all probably familiar with talk of creating political echo chambers, what that has done to polarize society, in some cases, arguably push societies to more authoritarian governments, and generally kind of lead to arguably a breakdown in democracy in the sense that people can't even agree now on who won certain elections, right? There's such political polarization and a breakdown in the kind of national conversation. So that was just with the very primitive systems we had, let's say a decade ago, in terms of Facebook and other social media platforms. Now, if we start to quickly integrate large language models, things like GPT, into our systems, and this is happening, this integration is happening, for example, with Google products. The concern is, what will this do to our democracy now that we have these much more powerful systems? What I really worry about is, now you might have heard actually people like Elon Musk complaining that the current systems like GPT are too quote unquote woke, and they want to have AIs that will, not have certain filters on them. The concern I would have there is if we end up with a scenario where many, many different groups are each building, developing and tweaking their own AI models. And so you basically get these echo chambers, but that are now sort of turbocharged by these sort of like bespoke models. Will that increase the worry about echo chambers and polarization, but by orders of magnitude? That's a real concern I have.
MC in Red Bank, you're on WNYC. Hi, MC, are you really in Red Bank?
I really am in Red Bank.
Oh, good, that's progress.
Yeah. Well, thanks for this conversation. An amazing guest who's clearly an expert on the topic. Just holistically zooming out from large language models is the threat of AI overall. The spoofing and deep fake threat is not only obviously clearly evident in the enterprise space, but it's slowly leaking into the private sector and can become a nation state threat for us. So I think it's really important that transparency and data is able to have a layer of verification as we move forward through AI.
And how can we best do that? Do you want to keep going on that, MC?
Sure. Well, I'm just being clearly transparent here, I'm the founder of Force Field. We have patent pending technology to verify streaming media. To give you an idea of what DocuSign does for documents, the same thing is going to be needed for data, streaming video, and photos as AI becomes smarter and as deep fakes become more believable, much like the verification system that Twitter had that has soon fallen. We will need checks and balances for regulation and compliance, and I think that's the only way through this.
Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. So to finish up, Sigal, you wrote that you're for the 6-month pause, but what should be done with the time is less clear. And you also note that when the letter calls for new governance structures to regulate AI, the Congress lacks expertise in artificial intelligence. I'll add that we saw how cringeworthy some of the questioning was. Excuse me, we saw how cringeworthy some of the questioning was at last week's hearing just about TikTok. So, do you have any thoughts on what a constructive government role could be?
Yes, yeah, so I'm for a 6-month moratorium. Do I think that's enough? No. I think we desperately need more regulation in this space. We desperately need laws to hold powerful people in the tech world and Silicon Valley accountable, because right now it's a wild west and there's very little accountability. problem is, you know, as you were mentioning, lawmakers, you know, this is very advanced technology. I think lawmakers genuinely want to know more about this, but are behind in how fast. We're all behind. It's so hard to keep up, even if you're an expert. There's just the research is moving so fast. I think we can use that 6 months in part to just have increased education, literacy, both among lawmakers and among the public, about what is happening with these models, the state-of-the-art models, and really think about robust policy, regulations, laws that we can put in place to protect society, not just from what the AI models could do, particularly if we let them get even more powerful, GPT-5 on the way, but really protect us from, you know, tech groups that are going to increasingly just basically increase power in the hands of the powerful at the expense of humanity, which they claim to be benefiting all of us. But if we don't institute very careful regulations and insist on more transparency and interpretability and accountability, we really are on track to end up with a world where we're really just concentrating power and riches in the hands of people who are already the powerful and the rich.
Sigal Samuel, senior reporter for Vox's Future Perfect and co-host of their Future Perfect podcast. Thank you so much for sharing some of your wisdom with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.